Very warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount preached by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have come to the final chapter, that is chapter 7. It began with chapter 5, and now we are at verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. The topic is entitled, Leave Them Alone. That sounds pretty strange, isn't it? There are certain individuals, people in our lives, that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to leave them alone. To leave them alone in what? To leave them alone in their sin. To leave them alone in their condemnation. That when they die in their sin, they're going to find themselves judged by God in hell. That is a very frightening revelation. Who are these people? Where are they found? How do we recognize them? So much so that we are told by the Lord Jesus Christ not to give to them. That means don't bother about them. Ignore them. When you see them in their state and condition, do not do anything for them. Anything that is good, anything that will help them find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a waste of time, in other words. So what exactly does it mean to leave these people alone? Does that mean that we are to harden our hearts? Does it mean that we are to give up on them? Does it mean that we know for a fact that their names are not written in the book of life? Who are these people? What exactly are they that God would invoke such a very strong warning to God's children, to God's people? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that our time of service on earth is limited. And where we serve, to whom we give the word of God to, is very limited. If you go to a particular city to give the word of God, you can't go to another city. If you give the word of God to this particular group of people, your time will be devoted to giving to this group of people, and that time that you have devoted will not be allowed to be given to another group of people. Your time and my time of witness, testifying of the power of God and the goodness of God in our lives through Christ Jesus, is very limited and very precious, therefore. And we are told, therefore, not to give to a certain group of people. Because the construction in verse 6, in both of these verbs, give not and cast not, it's constructed in such a way whereby the prohibition is not to begin this action. It is not like you're already doing it, and then the Lord Jesus Christ is now giving you a command to stop doing something. Jesus is here basically telling the disciples, do not begin to give. Do not begin to throw or cast. Don't begin these two actions. Give and throw. Don't start it at all. In other words, recognize who these people are so that you will leave them alone and do not give to them what is from God. We do not realize this, do we? Very often we are told to just treat everybody because God loves the world. God loves everybody. Everybody must be given. The Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to us, no. Who are these people that we are to leave alone and not give or cast to them anything? In the first group, don't give to the dogs. The second group, don't cast to the swine. So God called them dogs and swines. Now, first thing we know is that these are unclean animals. Let's look at the dogs. Now, these are not to be seen as the kind of pet dogs that you have at home. The Jews do not live the kind of lives that you and I live as Gentiles. Many of the things that we are allowed to do, they are not allowed to do. Many of the kind of food that they are not allowed to eat, we are allowed to eat. We have very little unclean things on this earth other than things that are sinful. They don't have that kind of short list. Their list of unclean things are very long. They are dietary laws. What kind of beasts, land animals, they are allowed to eat, not allowed to eat. What kind of birds, what kind of fish are all carefully regulated by God. And the reason is they are surrounded by Gentile nations where these creatures are worshipped. These creatures are eaten for the purpose of devoting themselves to the idols that they bow down to and worship. And when God knows the way that they make covenants in the Old Testament, that is to be concluded by eating a meal. And if you cannot eat with your Gentile neighbors, there is no way you can conclude a marriage covenant or a business covenant that will compromise the witness of Israel. And so they have a very, very long list of do's and don'ts in order to keep their life of holiness and their testimony intact, clean, pure, holy. For us, we don't have that kind of list of do's and don'ts the way that we like to. God has given to us a liberty. God says any kind of food you can eat, as long as it does not include eating of blood and food offered to idols. Other than that, the rest you can consume. There is no restriction given to the Gentiles. And so you look at our life. We have pet dogs. I know of people, I was told, that there are some people who fly overseas to countries like Germany to buy a German shepherd that is pure. Now the flight there will cost them maybe $1,000+. And then they're prepared to pay five figures just to bring that dog, fly the dog back from Germany to Singapore. And then they have to pay all the documents and all the necessary money to clear custom so that the dog is clean and fit to live in Singapore. And then their home is specially prepared, sometimes even more prepared than to welcome a newborn baby. Now they have a new pet. And the house and the room is very carefully prepared, air conditioned, the best food, the best grooming, the best doctor. Very often more expensive to maintain and keep that dog than to keep a human being. That's why you don't say nowadays, "Wow, your life is so difficult, it's a dog's life." That's not difficult, that's a good life. Isn't it true? A dog's life today is a good life. Not in the Old Testament time, not in the time of Christ when you are talking to a Jew. You don't want a dog in your house. You don't want the dog to touch you. A dog is an unclean animal. Most of the time, these dogs are pariah dogs that you find outside, unwanted, roaming the streets of the city. These dogs will eat all kinds of terrible things, like the dogs that will consume the body of Jezebel as she fell from the window after she was commanded to be killed. And the dog will just eat her up until there is practically nothing left of her. That's the kind of dogs. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, when you recognize such people that are characterized by these dog's characteristics, you don't waste your time by giving to them which is holy. Don't begin to do so. Stay away from them. Leave them alone. Don't waste your time trying to share with them the gospel. Don't waste your time trying to talk to them about the Bible doctrines. It's a waste of your time. Stay away from them. In other words, you have to recognize them. That means you have to make a judgment call. Now remember the first five verses talks about be careful of the right kind of judgment. Okay, be careful. The Bible did not say, and never at all did the Bible say, don't judge. The Bible made it very clear that we are to judge very carefully using the Word of God and judge based upon facts. Not upon hearsay, not upon rumors. Based upon genuine facts, you make a judgment. Who is right, who is wrong? What is right doctrine, what is wrong doctrine? What is the right kind of church, what is the wrong kind of church? And in this case, we are to judge a person to see whether he belongs to the dog category, if he ever does. You don't waste your time giving to him what is holy. Now, what are the holy things that we have on this earth? The Word of God. What else? The precious, perfect Word of God. whether it is the gospel message or some other doctrine. Don't waste your time giving it to these dogs who are characterized by uncleanness, who are characterized by their behavior and their conduct that is roaming the street, out there, unwanted. Who are these people today? What are they? How do we see them out, seek them out? Where are they found? They are found in seminaries. They are found in Bible colleges. And they are definitely found in churches as well. They definitely do not include people out there in the world. People out there in the world are the kind of enemies that the Bible speaks of, that we are to go out and reach out to. You see, God has two kinds of enemies. The enemies who do not know Christ, who have never heard of Christ, they're out in the world. They are the ones that Jesus gave us a great commission to go out there and give them the gospel. The other kind of enemies are the enemies who call themselves Christians, who call themselves people of God. But they are not. They are not really people of God. They are definitely not Christians. And they are the ones who will attack the Bible. They are the ones who attack the doctrines. They are the hypocrites. They are the ones who will climb into all kinds of positions of power and authority inside the Christian realm. These are the ones. They are the ones whom the Lord called the dogs. Because the Bible tells us to bring the gospel to the world out there. These enemies of God, the first kind, they don't attack Christ. They don't attack the Bible. They don't care for Christ. They don't care for the Word of God. They are so caught up with their sin. They are in sin blindness. They don't undermine the Word of God. They don't attack Christ. They need help. They need the light of truth. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. As opposed to those who call themselves Christians, who know better, who know the Word of God, who claim to know the Word of God. They have gone through Bible college. They have gone through seminary training. They are not ignorant of the Christian faith. And then they attack the Christian faith. The same faith that they claim to have studied, the same faith that they claim to know. These are the dogs. These are the swines that the Bible warns us of that are out there, that you are not to give them that which is holy. In other words, if you see these people undermining, attacking the Bible, attacking the virgin birth of Christ, attacking the resurrection of Christ, saying the Bible has mistakes, leave them alone. They are not ignorant. We are not talking about the ignorant enemies. The ignorant enemies, Jesus says, give them the gospel. These are the enemies of God who had already been taught, who had already been told the Word of God many times, like someone in a seminary, Bible college, and they could now become pastors. That is why there is and must be a clear distinction. If you are in a church that believes the Bible has mistakes, the people that belong to the group where you are to leave them alone would be the leadership. Especially the pastors and the elders who know better and they deliberately, continuously, willfully teach the doctrine has the Bible has mistakes. The doctrine of the imperfect Bible. As opposed to the general congregation members who do not know better other than to just simply listen to what has been taught to them. If you know of friends like this, if you know of people like this, by all means, give to them the truth. Give to them that which is holy, which is the Word of God. Let them know, let them see and understand. Tell them the truth. Show to them the dangers of believing in this falsehood that the Bible has mistakes. It will shatter and undermine your entire Christian faith. Because the attack is not on one particular doctrine, but on all the doctrines. When the Bible is attacked, when they say the Bible has mistakes, that means every doctrine that you believe in will now be doubted. And the seed of doubt has already been planted into all the doctrines that you hold dear. These are the dogs. They know. They have already been taught and told many, many times before. And now when it comes to your turn, you see them. You see them from their website. You see them from their writings. You see them from their books. You see them from their speaking. You can hear them from the pulpit on the internet. You hear it enough. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your breath on them. Don't give to them what is holy. The first group. Don't give to them. You're wasting that gift. Give to those who need it. Give to those who are ignorant and they can be helped. These people can no longer be helped anymore. They are characterized by the characteristics of these unwanted, unclean dogs that were common in those days. That Jesus Christ deliberately used them as an illustration. Stay away from them. But you must recognize who the dogs are. Because once you recognize them, that's it. Leave them be. Don't give the word of God to them. Now, as you know, the word of God is made up of many doctrines. I would like to divide them into two lists. The first list, I call them the meat doctrines. The second list would be called the milk doctrines. All the doctrines that belong to the meat category, such as the doctrine of biblical separation, such as the doctrine of the church, what it means to have the Lord's Supper, what it means to have water baptism, the filling, the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the doctrines that will help us mature in the faith, they are called meat doctrines. Now, these doctrines will never be understood by an unbeliever. No matter how you want to teach them, no matter how good you are in explaining to them, they will not be able to understand. Why? Because they are not born again. And as long as they are not born again, they will be blind. They are dead in sin. They can't see into the spiritual truth. Or they can understand the words, but they cannot understand the teaching and the doctrine that will transform and change their lives. The milk doctrine would be the doctrine of salvation. And all the aspects of the doctrine of salvation would include repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of laying on of hands, and the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. Now these are all known as the milk doctrines, because all these doctrines pertain to the doctrine of salvation, which the Bible calls it the first doctrine, the first principal doctrine. This is the first doctrine that must be given to the sinner, because this is the doctrine that will save. This is the doctrine of the gospel that will open his eyes. And once his eyes are open, he is now born again. Then he can cross over and now begin slowly, little by little, eat the meat doctrine. Because now his eyes are open with the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He can now open his eyes and understand the meat doctrines. Okay, so these are the two kinds of doctrines that you have to understand. Now, these are found in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. I didn't make them up. Okay, Hebrews 5 and 6. Because the author surveyed the recipients of his epistle and said, I expected many of you to be teachers, but sadly I found many of you still babes in Christ. That means they have been believers for a long time. And he says that I wanted you to eat meat, now you're still drinking milk. And then in chapter 6, he explained to us what are the milk doctrines, leaving the principles, the first doctrine, which is the doctrine of salvation. That's the first doctrine. That's the doctrine that will open our eyes and save a person, that will help him see the truth, that will open the doors to all the meat doctrines that are found in the scripture. Now the reason I mention this is because of the next part of verse 6. Don't throw your pearls. Now what are the pearls? The pearls here will be definitely the gospel. You cannot exclude the gospel, because in the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ says, the pearl of great price. But this man was prepared to sell everything that he had in order to find this pearl of great price. And when he found it, he was prepared to sell everything, throw everything into this price tag. I want this pearl of great price. How much is it? I'm prepared to give you everything that I own, as long as you give me this pearl of great price. And we know the pearl of great price is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that parable teaches us the significance and importance of a total, complete surrender before you can accept Christ. You cannot hold back anything when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. So therefore, the next group of people that we are to recognize, so that we may not make the mistake of throwing pearls before these people, they are called swines. Pigs are unclean animals, just like the dogs. But there's one particular characteristic of pigs. They're always filthy. When you look at a dog from far, you may not see the dog being covered with mud and filth. Or the dog may be very filthy in terms of the kind of food he eats. The pigs the same. The pigs are carnivorous. They eat practically everything. Omnivorous, you may call it. Definitely they will eat meat. I read on the internet one time, when the family of this aged farmer came to look for him because they could not find him. They kept on calling and calling and they could not find him and they could not find him anywhere until they went into the pig pen. And then they realized that when he was feeding the pig, he had a heart attack and he died. And then the pig ate him up. That's what they said in the news. The pig ate him up. His own pigs ate him because they were hungry. They were carnivorous. They eat meat. And so they ate up the farmer's body. They found only parts of the farmer's body left. That's how they knew that the pigs ate up the grandfather. They are unclean, like dogs. The dogs eat human meat. That's why the dogs ate up Jezebel. Very similar. But the difference is the pigs, you can see the dirt on them. They will not be able to recognize that which is holy. They will not recognize what is a pearl. Because of their nature, because of their uncleanness, because of their characteristics. You look at the pig, that's what a pig is. You can beautify it, you can bathe it, you can put perfume on it, you can groom it. And the moment you let the pig loose, the pig will go back to its swill and its mud. And in no time at all, it will be just as filthy as if you have never groomed it at all. That's the pig. And that's what God tells us. You watch out for these people that have such characteristics like that of the swine. So who are they again? Very similar. Same kind of people. But this time they are definitely not born again. Don't even give them the gospel. Don't talk about the meat doctrines and all the other doctrines. Don't throw it in front of them. Don't waste your time. First, don't give. And don't even throw from far. Leave them be. Leave them to their hardened hearts. Leave them to what they are doing. Because these people, God says, you don't waste your time on them. And that is to me very scary. Because the Bible did tell us to go into the world. But this is another world. This is the so-called Christian world that we're living in today. This is the world where Christianity has already been in existence for nearly 2,000 years since the time of the Pentecost, which occurred maybe about 30 AD. Now we are in 2015. 15 years more, if the Lord tarries, it will be about 2,000 years. And Christianity has changed so much. So much so that many of the prophecies that we read in the Bible concerning the last days are no longer prophecies in our lifetime. Just as Isaiah 7:14, which prophesied by Isaiah concerning the birth of Jesus Christ through a virgin and his name will be called Emmanuel. That verse was not a prophecy to the people who lived in the time of Christ, was it? So the people who lived in the time of Christ, when they read Isaiah 7:14, it is not prophecy, it is history. It had already happened. Jesus Christ had already been born and now they are witnessing the Jesus of Nazareth doing all his miracles, listening to his preaching. And so when they read Isaiah 7:14, they must not read it as if it's still going to be a future event. No, they must read it as a past event. Just like when you read Genesis 1, it is a past event. When you read Isaiah 7:14, it's a past event. And therefore, when you read Matthew 24, great signs and wonders, false Christ and false prophets will come and do great signs and wonders. That is no longer a future. That is the present for us. These are the dogs and the swines. people who call themselves Christians, people who call themselves prophets, people who call themselves apostles. Don't waste your time on them. It's not that they do not know. They know very well. And they are bent on hurting, disturbing, attacking. That's what they are. As opposed to the sinners out there who have never heard of Christ. They don't attack Christ. They don't attack the Bible. That's what we were like once upon a time. We were unbelievers. We were worshippers of other religions. We don't know anything about Christ. We don't care about Christ. We never attack or undermine Christ. We just live in our own world, in darkness and in sin, thinking that we were living. Now, these are the people you please continue to go out and fulfill the Great Commission and give them the gospel. These are the ones who will appreciate the pearls that are cast and thrown in their pathway, in their lives. They will be very happy to embrace us as you and I were very happy and thankful to one person or group of people whom God used to throw us the gospel message, the pearl. And we accept the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace and His mercy. Not these kind of people. You find them in seminar. They know better. They think they know better. In other words, don't throw pearls to people like Joseph Prince and Kong Hee and Lawrence Kong, who call themselves apostles. Oh, they know. They know. No matter what you say to them, as long as you do not sing their song and sing their tune, they will call you heretic. They will say that you are blind. They will say that you do not know any better. We had a stranger who came to Pandan a few months ago. Thank God he's no longer attending the church. Such people, we do not want them to come to church. He came with his family. And when we first noticed him, when after service, he joined one of our adult Bible class, where Elder Goh was teaching. And after the class, he stood up and then he took over the class, literally. He said at the start that, "I do not agree with what you have just taught." And so Elder Goh kept quiet and let him continue. I mean, you can disagree with us anytime, but make sure your disagreement is legitimate. And instead of pointing out the errors one by one, he started to preach and gave his brand of Christianity. And after a few minutes, Elder Goh realized that this person is not here to learn. This person is using the class as a platform for him to preach his brand of theology. And so Elder Goh stopped him immediately and said, "Class dismissed." And then everybody started to walk out and he just stood there. And then in the afternoon, he joined another class. This time, he joined the tracting session. And before we go out for tracting, we have an exhortation. And so the person who preached that afternoon was Preacher Colin Kang. And like before, after Preacher Cole preached, he stood up, "I disagree with you." And then he started again. The same thing. And then the following Sunday, he came again. And this time, I was told of this person. And so we stopped him before he could start. And so during the fellowship lunch, they asked me to talk to him. And so I talked to him to find out what he wanted and where he came from. So I asked him about his past, asked him about his background. He had belonged to an AOG church for 10 years. And he disagreed with his 10 years or 15 years with his pastor. And so he left. And he has not been attending church for the past, I think, 5 or 10 years. And then for the past couple of years, he wanted to start his own church. And so his own church made up of his own family. That's it. His wife and his 3 children. A grown-up son, a teenager, maybe an 18, 19 years old, and 2 young daughters, teenagers. And then after a while, his own son could not agree with him. And the mother, to stop them from quarreling, said, "You go and find your own church." And so when he realized that his congregation was reduced to only wife and 2 daughters, he says, "We might as well close down the church." And so he closed down the church and he went from one church to another looking for a church. And so he came to Pandan. And then he said he liked this church. And so he continued to stay. And to make matters worse, he stayed during the time of October last year. And then during the last Sunday of October, you know, it's our Reformation Sunday. And I preach about how we must continue to earnestly contend for the faith. And that particular Sunday, I already make an appointment with him the Sunday before to meet up with him. And so after the service, I met up with him in the office, the tiny conference room, and his wife and his two daughters were there. His son has left home, left church and gone back. And then he said, "I like the sermon. Well, it convicted me to now earnestly contend for the faith." I said, "Chum," in my heart. He's contending for his brand of faith. He's contending for his brand of Christianity. He was absolutely, completely not teachable. So I thought I could help him by telling him, right, instead of you criticizing our doctrine, can you write out on a piece of paper what your doctrines of the Bible are? Doctrines of God, doctrines of Christ, doctrine of the church, doctrine of salvation. Write out your perspective. That's how we ended. I don't want to argue, I don't want to waste my time on him. So instead of a long, protracted meeting, it didn't even last more than 10, 15 minutes. And then that was it. I didn't even pray with him. He went his way. And so I expected him to write out his long doctrinal thesis on all these doctrines so that I can know where he's coming from. And instead of doing that, because a week or so later, he sent me the email. I gave him my email address. Instead of writing on his doctrine, the same thing he did again, he criticized what was preached by Elder Goh. He criticized what was preached by Preacher Cole. That was it. I said, our agreement was not to criticize our doctrine anymore. You tell me what your doctrines are. He could not. He wrote me again and again. Then I said that your understanding of the Bible is like an unbeliever. Please, stop condemning everybody else. Look into your own life. Then his reply was, I'm wrong. All of us are wrong. He said, the church is dead, the church is this, the church is that. And that's it. There are such people. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how you write, they are so fixed in their own brand of Christianity, their own way of righteousness, that there is no way you can help them. Or you can try. I thought I could. Did not know who he was. Thought he was just somebody who needed help. Thought he was genuine, sincerely seeking the truth. He was not seeking the truth. He was seeking a platform to promote his truth, his brand. And his brand of theology was frightening. He says that a person can have temporary salvation. That you can have it and then you can lose it. And then after that you can be properly saved. It's very weird and out of this world completely. When you try to talk to him and you try to corner him on one aspect of the doctrine, he will use Tai Chi and move to another verse. And then when you try to corner him on this verse, you go to another verse, and then realize that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just leading you to a merry-go-round. It's a complete waste of time. That's why such people, I'm thankful to the Lord that he did not come back. Such people you do not want to be in the church because they can only do one thing, and that is to give you trouble. Because that's exactly what these dogs and swines will do. That's why Jesus told them, don't waste your time giving it to them. Don't waste your time throwing pearls to them. Don't give them what is holy. Don't throw pearls to this one. Why? Lest they trample them. Trample them or trample the holy, trample the pearls. First, they will attack the very doctrine that you give to them. They're going to undermine it. No matter what you say to them, no matter how good the doctrine is, no matter how logical your explanation is to the best of your ability, they will just simply hammer it. They will just simply trample on the doctrine. That's what he says. That's what Jesus says. They will trample them, means the doctrine, under their feet. The pearl and the holy. The word of God. The gospel. Like what this guy did. Do you know that the doctrine of the imperfect Bible, the Bible with mistakes, is a serious, serious doctrine? You and I know that it is absolutely illogical. Those who say the Bible has mistakes. It is a different thing when you are ignorant and you did not know the Bible has mistakes. We did teach in the past because we were taught the Bible had mistakes. And that's what we taught. When we came back from America, we taught that. I remember teaching that in my Hebrew reading class because that's what we were taught. We must begin first by applying textual criticism to find the Bible that was lost. And then after you have found it, then you begin to exegete it and study it. We taught that for a few years. But every time when I taught that, my heart was in turmoil. I was in conflict. I always believed the Bible was perfect until I entered FEBC. When I went into the languages class, such as Greek and Hebrew, that's when I was exposed to the teaching that the Bible had mistakes. And that's when we were exposed to textual criticism, reduction criticism, source criticism, all kinds of criticism, and we were tested on it. We have to take exams on such things. We have to memorize the intentional mistakes, the unintentional mistakes that you find in all the manuscripts. We learn all these things, we memorize all these things, and we took exams on all these things. And then we went to America, the same things were reinforced into our hearts and to our minds. And so when we came back, we did the same. But in my own heart of hearts, I always believed the Bible is perfect. So how did I go around this teaching? Well, I went around this teaching by believing in myself, in my own heart, that I always believe the Bible is perfect. Well, since they say that there is a mistake here, so now that we have found out where the mistakes are, we fix it, so therefore the Bible is perfect again. That was how I rationalized, so that I will not go crazy, so that I will not give up my faith and believe the Bible has now mistakes, no more perfect Bible. I never at any time stopped believing the Bible is perfect, even though we were bombarded year after year by the fact that the doctrine of textual criticism was the right doctrine to believe in. Until one day when we were in Bible college, we were exposed by the grace and mercies of God to a video clip taught by a lecturer, I believe, from, I think, Pensacola. And he taught us about the doctrine of verbal plenary preservation. When I watched that and listened to his explanation, I was so happy and I was so thankful, as if I was completely liberated. And from that point onwards, my eyes were open and no more textual criticism. My whole teaching of the Hebrew Bible completely transformed. Everything changed. And now I have no more struggle, no more turmoil. I was so thankful to the Lord for this understanding and this teaching. And with this understanding, then the attack on the perfect Bible began. This was my experience, this was Dr. Koo's experience, this was Reverend Dutt's experience. If God were to allow the attack on the perfect Bible to begin before we had all this, I could not, dare not imagine what would happen to my own faith and to the problems that I will probably cause inside the church. But thank God, God established our doctrine first before God allowed that attack to surface within the BP movement to save our soul, to protect us. We are not talking about this kind of believers who did not know, like myself, who were completely ignorant, but in our own heart we believe in the perfect Bible, but we were bombarded by that kind of teaching at the highest level, at seminary and in the faculty of FEBC. Thank God those faculty members are no longer there. We are not talking about that kind. We are talking about another group, like the gentleman who came to the church, who is a self-taught theologian. Never read any writings of any man. The last time I communicated with him, I told him, please read the Systematic Theology by Buswell. That will help you understand the doctrines of the Bible. You know what his reply was? I am only taught by God, I am not taught by man. Now this kind of argument sounds so logical. Then I said to him, then why are you writing? Are you not writing as a man? So if you do not want to be taught by men, then why do you want to go around and teach people by all your writings and all your stuff? And he said, I'm different. No, you're different. You see, there's no way you can, I mean, no matter what kind of reasoning, what kind of logic to penetrate these people. They are bent on what they believe in. Completely swayed by the deception and the delusion that grip their heart. And whatever doctrine you give to them, they're going to trample on it, they're going to attack it, they're going to stomp on it. You know what's trampling something, right? You give them something, they take it from your hand, put it on the floor, and they dig their feet and bang on it. That's what they're going to do to all the doctrines that you're going to give to them. That's why Jesus says, don't give the holy, which is the word of God, the gospel, which is also the word of God, definitely including the gospel, don't waste it on these people. Because not only will they trample under the feet of these wicked people, the word of truth, the word of God, they're going to turn again and also rend you. They're going to attack you as well. They're going to tear you apart. And so they call you names. They call you all kinds of terrible names just to hurt you, get rid of you. And so the email of this gentleman, not only did they attack the Bible, they also attack you. They attack you. They call you all kinds of terrible names. They say the church is full of this. You are just a heretic. You teach them all the wrong doctrines and so on. That's what they will do. They will stomp on the word of God, and then they're going to tear you apart. There's a big difference between going out to the world and give them the gospel and suffer persecution. That is what we are told not to flee from. When we have to go through suffering, we are prepared to suffer for Christ. But this is different. These are supposed to be called Christians. These are supposed to be people who know better. So Jesus warns us, don't waste your time on them. Don't waste your life on them. Don't waste your health. Don't waste anything that God has given to you on these people. Leave them alone. They're going to trample on God's word. They're going to tear you apart. Ignore them. Go out and reach out to those who want to hear. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the disciples out two by two? What did Jesus tell them? Don't bring anything with you. Don't bring an extra tunic. Don't bring an extra sandal. Don't bring any money. Just go in the name of Jesus Christ. And all you carry with you is Jesus Christ, His name, and the gospel. And you will experience the sufficiency of just carrying with you the name of Jesus Christ. And so the disciples went, and then they came back and they said, Jesus, you are right. Because Jesus told them, you go to any home and give them the truth, give them the gospel, tell them about Christ. If they listen to you and open the door and welcome you, whatever they give to you, whatever lodging, whatever food they give to you, you just accept with thanksgiving. But in any home that you want to bring the gospel and they chase you out, they say to you, we are not interested, get out. You just go. Shake the dust off your sandals and move on. And that is what you must do too. There are many out there who want to know Christ. By all means, go out and give your life to reach out to them. But there are also others who are out there who are characterized by Jesus as dogs and swines, who have already been given the truth, who are already supposed to know the truth. But you give to them, you throw the pearl to them, and all they do to you is to attack the word of God, trample on the truth that you have so carefully, graciously, lovingly give to them. And then after they have trampled the holy word of God, they're going to tear you apart. Jesus says to these people, leave them alone. And there are such people. Know who they are. Use the word of God. There are such people. They have really known the word of God. They are the dogs and the swines who know the word of God, who doesn't care much for the word of God, who continues to undermine and misinterpret and do not obey the word of God. Don't put it onto your own soul as a burden to reach out to them. Jesus says, they have really been warned, they have really been taught, they have really been told, and this is their response and their reaction. Leave them alone. Let us pray.